Psalm 5. We were looking at verses, we began with verse 1. We kind of took an overview of verses 1 through 6. Tonight we're going to be looking at, verses 2, 3, and 4, and 5 or so here tonight. So as we get started here, and I would like to encourage any of our home viewers equally as well. If you'd like to send in your birthday, we'd like to be able to wish you a happy birthday online here. We enjoy doing that with Robert and others that we know who have birthdays on particular days, and we'd like to be able to do that. So just kind of drop us a line and first name and your month and day, and we'll have our church secretary put that on the calendar. Just what she needs, more work. Anyway, from the first in our first message from Psalm 5 in dealing with the subject of depression, I tell you what, you know, if you really look around today, and if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, man, I don't know how you can get along day to day without being totally and completely depressed. I listened to some of the shenanigans going on there in the hearings with Cohen, and I think to myself, boy, what a bunch of losers they are down there. I'll tell you, it's depressing. It's depressing when you think down there, and I had to think on that, well, I better not say it. Anyway, as you move on, depression. You look at the bills that were passed in New York, passed here in Vermont, what's being passed around. The simple fact that I hope no pro-lifers ever voted for flipping the House to Democratic control. Because if the House had been a Republican control, I believe that abortion bill, sparing the life of a child, when if it's born, it's alive. The doctors have to do everything they can to make sure the baby stays alive. I believe that would have been passed. But you know what? When you vote in the party of death, that's what you get. That's what you get. Oh, wait, not kind words, but you know what? When you take the life of an innocent, helpless, harmless child, you don't deserve kind words. Amen. You deserve God's love. That's a different story. You deserve God's love. That's to bring them to salvation. So someone's not happy downstairs. Anyway, it says the subject of depression. The title was One Must Push. And whenever someone finds themselves getting in or maybe depression kind of slipping on, they really have to push through it. That's not something you can sit there and nurse it and let it control you. And that's the whole idea behind the idea of pushing. You've got to push the steps that you need to take in order to make sure that as you feel the depression coming on, that you take steps to prevent it from overwhelming you at that time. So the idea is to push through it and do the things necessary to putting depression in its place. Now, sometimes there's nothing you can do because it's a chemical imbalance that causes depression and brings it on. But I'm talking about the kind of depression that's a result of sin, the depression of perhaps maybe pridefulness, you're not getting your own way, or things aren't going just the way you want them to go, and so you can get depressed about this. Or, you know, hey, listen, if you don't get enough sunshine, there's always Florida. Florida has a lot of sunshine down that way. Sunny skies are supposed to be helpful for people who tend to have those kind of depressions along the way. But in that first message, the first thing that we see here in Psalm 5 is that David pushed himself to pray. A lot of times when you don't really feel like doing something, the last thing you want to do is be pushed into praying because, you know, if I pray, I know how God's going to speak to me. It's kind of like kids don't ask their parents for advice because they pretty much know where parents are going to go. Or maybe someone is an adult and they're going to do something. They don't ask the preacher because they know where the preacher's going to go with it. And so they'd rather find someone out there somewhere that might agree with them and feel like, okay, I've got two on my side now. But David pushed himself to pray, and from the words of verse 1, we see that David needed for the Lord to hear his prayer, perhaps at this time more than at any other time in his life. Absalom has garnered an army. His son Absalom is going to depose his father from the throne, and I wouldn't have put it past Absalom if he had to. He would have killed his father in a heartbeat. But In verse 1b, he says there, consider my meditation. So David is expressing his desire to control his thoughts. One thing about depression, it's a matter of, it's almost cyclic. You just keep on thinking the same thing over and over and over and over, and you keep dealing with whatever feeling of inadequacy that's bringing on the depression or whatever it is there. And so David wanted God to be able to control his thoughts. It's easy to allow our thoughts to drift rather than to stay on topic, even in our prayer life. And so David wanted to make sure that he stayed on topic to what his need was at that particular time. He didn't want depression to control him, because sometimes under depression we make poor judgments, we make poor decisions in that process. So by God's grace tonight, we're going to look at David forced himself to become broken in verses 2 through 3. He says, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will what? Look up. Depression is almost always an inward look. When we want to get out of something like that, we have to have an outward and an upward look. So this prayer is progressive in that it starts with a humbling empty of oneself so that God's will, regardless of where it's going to take us. And see, that's a problem we have sometimes, is that we pray that maybe God's going to reveal his specific will, because we're busy about doing his regular exposed will as he gives it to us through the scriptures. But then he turns around and we turn around and then we find that maybe we're doing all that God would have us to do there, but we're going to go through some difficult times. Well, you know, that could be part of God's unspoken will. Now, sufferings are going to come. He's already warned us. We don't know what kind of sufferings. We don't know from what direction they're going to come. But we should, as believers, realize that, hey, listen, if you're a child of God and you're doing anything for God, then the devil's going to get after you. And the devil's going to do what he can to depress you, to discourage you, whatever he can along the way. So those things are going to come against us. We have to make a choice, to make a decision. We're not going to let them overrule us, if you will. So the idea is that we don't know where it's going to take us, but regardless of where it takes us or how it unfolds, we accept it because it is his will. Now, that is not something that we come by easily if we are having a pity party. If we're allowing depression to take control, then all of a sudden it's, God, why aren't you doing something about this? God, why aren't you taking care of this? Why am I going through this particular experience? Well, maybe there's something we need to learn. Maybe there's some spiritual growth. Maybe there's someone else who needs to hear and see the gospel when you stand up and you stand undefeated in the midst of that sense of overwhelming depression moving in your direction. So if we don't begin at this point of humbling ourselves in the presence of God, then the depression will only escalate until there is a complete emotional breakdown. Now, when you feel that coming on and you begin to do upward look, as David said here in the end of verse 3, he says, unto thee, and will look up. Another time he uses it, from whence cometh my help? Well, we look up to the Lord because that's where our help's going to come from. When you begin to sense that you're going through some sort of depression, maybe it's because of a physical problem you're going through. I know that what people have gone through sometimes with long, protracted illnesses, depression is not uncommon. Day after day pain, day after day discomfort, day after this, day after that. Oh, it just seems like it's just never end. And you know, to be honest with you, sometimes it does not go. It may be a lifetime of suffering. And so, you know, I think of some of our missionaries who have been on the field. I know that Bonnie Myers, her husband, is head of the Oceanic Baptist Outreach there from out of Australia. I get it right, out of Australia, but also working with the Solomon Islands, also working up in Papua New Guinea, in those areas. But his wife, really, she just has these excessive migraine headaches on a regular basis. I know that Brother Sean Quinlan also has ongoing migraine headaches and ongoing real serious back problems, but they just keep plugging on. So you have to stay close to the Lord in these instances and to realize that God has a reason, God has a purpose, and we have to work our way through these things emotionally and spiritually for sure. So what David is setting himself up for is a spiritual brokenness in order to prevent a debilitating emotional breakdown. He realizes that, man, if I don't get a handle on this now, There's no telling where this is going to lead. It may well lead to an emotional breakdown. And that's where depression usually leads people, to a place of emotional breakdown. And so he said, if I could empty myself of self and allow God to fill me with more of himself, then I can head off the depression and the emotional breakdown that would sure to follow. I mean, how would you feel if your son, whom you had raised, and let's face it, David wasn't a perfect father. We have some great fathers, but none of us are perfect dads. We've made our share of mistakes along the way. And so I'm sure David did, but nonetheless, here's his son, flesh and blood, has raised an army from among David's own people whom he ruled, and I believe he was a good king, he ruled well. But by the same token, now his son's coming after that throne, and his son's going to do what he has to do to take that throne. Well, you can get a little bit depressed over that if you weren't walking close with the Lord. But this idea of a spiritual brokenness is about sorrow over sin. It's the idea of a contrite heart. So a lot of people ask for forgiveness of their sin, but there is no contrition, no real sincere contrition. Sometimes it's more the fact that we got caught with a hand in a cookie jar than it is that we're sorry that we sinned or that we've transgressed against God. Now, the idea simply is that sorrow over sin, but it is in our own lives or our lives around us that creates the problem. So look at Daniel confess sin for himself and his people. Now, I don't know, Daniel was born maybe within about 15, maybe 20 years at the most, prior to being carried off by Nebuchadnezzar. So he couldn't certainly have been responsible for hundreds of years of backslidden and turning away from God, backsliding and getting away from God. Yet nonetheless, he saw himself as, well, you know, I'm a sinner. And he confessed his sin before God. And he confessed the sins of his people. Nehemiah confessed sin for himself and his people. He heard that the work was, I mean, he probably thought he was going to get a great message when they came back from Jerusalem. And he asked them how the work was going. And they said, man, it's not going. Now, that's paraphrased, by the way. It's not going at all. And he immediately began to weep. And he began to cry unto the Lord. He began to confess sin, his father's sin, his predecessor's sin, the present sins, and he fasted. He could have just simply been completely and totally depressed. You know, sometimes when you really turn things over to God, and I don't mean just in a glib statement of, Lord, I can't handle this anymore, it's in your court now. Sometimes there's a spending time with God in prayer, time of meditating in the Word of God. I know these are not the things that people going into depression want to be bothered with. Sometimes they just want to be miserable and they want to enjoy the misery. I don't know why they would, but that's why they do it. But you know, that's the one thing you need to do is get in the Word of God and get in the presence of God. And as you're doing both of these things here, it's amazing how the Spirit of God can begin to lift you up, begin to encourage you. You begin to see light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. So Nehemiah confessed sin for himself and his people as well. We also know that Nehemiah had to a couple of times when it really looked kind of... Could you imagine coming up on that city and seeing the city in ruins? I mean, no walls. The walls were just scattered and strewn all over the place. There were no gates. The temple, the foundation was laid. They should have done more than that, but we realize that Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. Anyway, the G boy. They were antagonists, to say the least. But coming upon that and realizing all the work, and maybe those who came back with Zerubbabel and Ezra, maybe they were depressed too. And any opposition that would have come from Tobiah and Sanballat and Geshem would probably kind of welcomed a little bit. Say, listen, we didn't really want to do this. Our heart really wasn't in it. And so they allowed depression to keep them from digging into the work that they should have dug into. So Nehemiah came along and he saw the work and he prayed about it. He got up at nighttime, he surveyed it and he took it to the Lord. Another time when it looked like, boy, Geshem and Sanballat and Tobiah were going to get an upper hand on him, he took it to the Lord. He worked it all out. So King Saul refused to be broken spiritually. And what happened? His depression really led him into some pretty bad decisions for his own personal life. He would not set aside his pride. He would not empty himself of self. And as a result of that, the depression just kept getting worse and worse until eventually he was taken in battle. Also, David is pushing himself to prevent I believe, this in his life, as his son Absalom is on the move to take over the kingdom. David has some real choices. He has some decisions to make. I'm glad the first one was humbling, and in emptying oneself of one's control is undoubtedly the first step, as mysterious as it may be, and certainly doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever to the world. The other was, why would you pray to God? Why would you get into your scripture during this time frame? Here, take a couple pills. And that's how the world deals with depression. Counseling with the godless and taking pills and taking medication. Now, listen, if it's an organic problem, then you need to work close with your doctors. But if it's because there's sin, and in Saul's case, it was sin. He was prideful, no doubt about it. He was very prideful, and it began to take over his life. He was jealous of David. He was jealous for his son Jonathan, who might take over the throne after Saul was passed off into eternity somewhere. But nonetheless, David's got to humble himself and make sure that if there's anything in the way, he wanted to have a clear mind. He wanted to have a clear idea of exactly how to handle the situation at hand. So if we see it from God's perspective, the emptying of self, self-control, control over whatever we are facing, we seek God and completely place ourselves in his will, and then God will move. God will move his will forward and accomplish his purpose. But he cannot do that if we're stuck in pride and selfishness and unwilling to empty ourselves of self. So if I do this and God does not come through, then what? Okay, Pastor, I hear you, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get my Bible, and I'm going to do this as often as I need to do it to kind of get on top of things. But what if God doesn't come through? Well, that depends on what you're trying to tell God how he's supposed to come through. Or it depends on how you kind of get a perspective on what it is that you want God to do. Well, when we become an empty vessel, spiritually broken, not emotionally broken, but spiritually broken, we come to that place where whatever happens becomes totally acceptable, because we're in that place where we accept God's will. We know that God has a purpose and God has a plan. Romans 8:28 is for the spiritually broken. Most of us know that verse there that... we can turn there very quickly, but just mark it down, if you would. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Whoops. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who what? Love the Lord and what? Are called according to his purpose. So, the Romans 8:28 is not for the rebellious. Romans 8:28 is not for the casual, blasé Christian who isn't really going to take the Word of God seriously as they ought to take the Word of God or God's will for their lives very seriously. So, it is for the spiritually broken, a promise that God has a good insight, whether we see it or understand it, doesn't make any difference. We put ourselves in the hands of God. Say, Lord, I trust you explicitly and implicitly. So Joseph, I believe, is certainly a beautiful example of this very truth. All that he endured for the 20 or so years, perhaps from my point of view, what good could have come from all of that? Being despised by his brothers, being sold to a caravan of, I'm trying to think what they were, Sabaeans, sold to them, then taken on the auction block, sold. Potiphar's house does the right thing, and he winds up in jail. Well, as much as we understand it, we know all of that. If Joseph had not emptied himself of self and given himself over to God, I doubt that he would have experienced the Romans 8:28 experience or principle in his life. But because he allowed God to work in his life, and the evidence of that is the simple fact that wherever it was that he behaved himself wisely. That is not someone who is upset. That is not indicative of someone who is angry at God or at life circumstances, or say, why me, Lord? You know, why? So he had to be emptied of self at some point. He said, Lord, I don't understand this, but Lord, you do, and I'm waiting on you, Lord. And as a result of that, we realize that God had to tear down so he could rebuild Joseph to be the man that God could use to save, as he said it, much people alive. David is at this point in Psalm 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy mountain." So his son Absalom is invading the city with his turncoat followers, and David's mighty men are preparing for war. Hey, they're going to defend the king to their dying breath. What does David decide to do? What is David going to do? How is David going to respond? Well, he pulls up stakes, and rather than allow the flesh to dictate his next step, he chooses to renew himself spiritually. That seems like a pretty good way to handle things, don't you? I mean, yeah, we can go ballistic and rant and rave and vent and steam and do all those kind of things there. David didn't do that. David realized that he needed to have some spiritual renewing. Lord, I really need to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God here to work this thing out. Because I know what I want to do, and I know what I would do if I wasn't your child. And so the point being that Absalom can wait. His men can wait. His followers can wait. Tomorrow's another day. But today, I need the presence of the Lord. I've got a monumental decision to make here. And I'm going to make sure I wait on the Lord for his direction. So there are those times that we need to be careful about getting caught up in the fury and the flurry of the moment and get away to be alone with God. And that's true of parents dealing with problem children and or young people, teaching them also how to get alone with God and to wait on the Lord. So he wanted to be alone with God in order to get the mind of the Lord. And this is true whether it is in a family situation, a marital situation, or just some sort of adversity. We just need to get alone and say, "Lord, I'm not sure what to do." Folks, we don't always have answers. I wish preachers always had answers. But we don't. We have a source of answers, which we can go to the Word of God, which means getting before God, being in the Word of God, asking for Him to direct us according to His Word. Or maybe it's something that we've been studying. Maybe it's something we've memorized that comes to mind at a particular time. But it is the true indication of leadership when one is able to keep one's head screwed on while everyone else is losing it. But that's also indicative of someone who is waiting on the Lord to give the right kind of direction, the right kind of instruction. And so David does so by getting the mind of God. It is what Nehemiah did. Not only before trekking to Jerusalem, but surveying the ruins, the work to be done, the enemy's attitudes and the enemy's attacks, even the indifference of the priests that were there. Nehemiah, let's get ready to close here. Nehemiah chapter 6. Oops. Nehemiah chapter 6, looking at verse 11. And that's 7. Okay, one more. There we go. "And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And though I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." So he knew what God wanted him to do, and he wasn't willing to rush into it. He was going to wait on the Lord. And so in verse 15, he says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 2 days. So because he trusted in God, he didn't let the enemy discourage him. He didn't let the enemy depress him. He was able to accomplish what God sent him there to accomplish. So we have to keep our wits about us. And so we see here that Hezekiah beat a hasty retreat to the presence of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 37. And looking at verse 11. It said, "Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them with my fathers, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Edom, which are in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arphad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva?" And the Bible says, "And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord to spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying," and of course we know how that ended. I believe it would have ended a lot different if he hadn't taken that note and gone up before. Now, God knew what was on the note. But Hezekiah did what he needed to do to get the mind of God, to get the peace of God, and the direction of God, and God worked wonderfully, and God took care of that particular problem. But he took it immediately and laid it out before the Lord. So forcing oneself to take the course of action necessary to deal with depression caused by outside situations may not be easy, but it is the right action for you and I to take, to be able to get a handle on it. You may not be one who is easily given to depression, but maybe you know someone who is, and they're a Christian, and you can work with them, and you be guided with them, and you can become a helpmeet, a helper to them, to get them through that depression, once we understand what steps we need to take. Amen? It's what David did. It's what we need to do as well. And who knows what the future holds. The way things are going, we may have a lot of depressed believers, or a lot of believers headed towards depression. But we can ward it off before it ever gets to that particular point. Amen? So prayer tonight. Now, Tony and Ann, I put down here that you folks are leaving, moving. When? Pardon? Okay, so wow. I'll get you down here for prayer. All right, so now you have a lot of stuff to move and everything?
I'm planning on flying back and being here Sunday after that on the 10th, I believe, and then and driving out on Monday.
You're going to take a truck out?
Right. Okay. Trailer.
All right. I have to write that schedule down, so I have a mindset there. If you write that down, that'll help me out quite a bit. All right, glad to have Brother Steve and Allison and Elena back. Rose is good-spirited right now. It's hard to find her in a not a good spirit, one way or the other. Continue to pray for her recovery there. I'm trying to think if there was anything I had to do. My son's report was a good report. Tom's was a good report. So we praise God for all those reports, and a good report here concerning Mrs. Hurdle as well. Are there any others that we need to know about? Karen Doolin. Okay. Wonderful. Yeah, you're going to have them captive. There's no doubt about that. Unless they put you completely out. Oh, they are going to put you completely out? Okay. Yeah, that's probably some very serious. Yeah, could be pretty painful for sure. But anyway, okay. So I'll get you down here for surgery coming up on 3/5/19. All right. Any other? Pardon? Didn't hear you.
She's already on long-term.
Yep. Yep, she's there. Any other prayer requests? Carrie.
Pray for Melissa.
She just needs help, you say?
Yeah, it's a complicated situation.
Okay. All right, well, we got Melissa down here just for help, and God knows what it's all about, so we'll leave it go there. Amen. All right, so Brother Jim, if you guys going on the long-term prayer request here. I did add on here Julia Vincent Chafin, that is Diane's granddaughter. Going to have, is it going to be their first grandchild? Great-grandchild? Okay. So, there you go, Justin back there. Justin's going to pray for those for us here. Spiritual needs and growth there, Jack. Salvation, Steve. I'll do these, I don't know why I call them short terms, but other prayer requests here. Missionaries of the Month here. Pete, would you hit those for us? And Tony, while we got you here, we're going to have you pray for Vermont pastors. My understanding is they do have someone, the possibility of someone coming up to Mount Paradis Baptist Church in April, but just waiting for his wife. She's had knee problems or knee surgery or something of that nature there, which might be a good thing to get that straightened out before you go up to a place like that. So there is that possibility. But also be praying for David Paul. He's going to be filling in on the March 24th. I believe it. Yeah, it'll be March 24th. That's a Sunday. So he's going to put Gabriel, and Gabriel's going to play. And they're working on that together there. So I'd love to have that videotaped just to be a blessing to have them up there doing that. So just remember David Paul and Gabriel as they kind of make the way up. Because right now it's just different people have been filling in from different churches along the way there. So appreciate that. So Brother Jim, if you get us going, appreciate it.
Our Father, again, tonight, Lord, we come to you so thankful that we have a direct line to you with prayer. So, Father, we come to you tonight on behalf of these long-term requests. Father, you know the needs of each one. You know the physical, the spiritual, and all the other needs that they have. So, Father, we pray that you'd meet those needs according to your will. Lord, we thank you for our tithes. We pray, Lord, that they'd remain benign. They have been, Father. We just pray your will be done there. Then, Lord, for Lorraine, for her struggling with her health issues. We pray, Father, you lift her up spiritually and physically, Lord, and just have your will and way in her life. Then, Lord, for Danny Ralston, for his muscular dystrophy and the related problems, we pray, Father, that you'd meet his needs according to your will. And Lord, for Linda F., as she deals with her health issues, Lord, you know the needs there. Then, Lord, for Rosa, for her foot pain, for her heart and her eyes and the broken bone in her leg, Lord, we just pray that you'd have your will and way there in her life and meet those needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Sophie, we pray for her serious ongoing health issues. We pray, Father, that you'd meet her physical and spiritual needs. And also for her parents, Lord, we pray that they'll come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior through this. Then, Lord, for Dan Charlin, for meeting and for his financial needs, we pray, Father, that you'd meet those needs according to your will and just have your will and way there in his life. Then, Lord, for Johnny S., and we pray for him as he serves the city of Burlington. We pray, Father, that you just meet the needs there in his life and, oh, Lord, keep him safe, put a hedge protection around him and the other officers. Lord, that they come home safely every night. Then, Lord, for Karen, for her surgery to schedule on the 5th, we pray, Father, that you'd be with her and also be with the surgeon as he does the surgery. Father, just have your will and way in her life and meet those needs. Then, Lord, we pray for Westbury Park, Lord, that it's been sold. We pray, Father, that you just have your will and way there and meet all the needs according to your will for each and every one. And then, Lord, for Joshua be concerning his health issues, we pray, Father, that you'd meet his physical needs. You know the needs there. Just have your will and way there. Then, Lord, for Sarah Hopkins' dad, we pray for his salvation and for his health issues. We pray, Father, that you'd meet his needs according to your will. And again tonight, Lord, we pray for our pastor and his family that you'll continue meeting their physical, their spiritual, and their financial needs. And just have your will and way in their lives and meet all the needs according to your will. And Lord, for our church family, we pray, Father, that you'd meet their needs according to your will. They'll have your will and way in our lives tonight. And Lord, as we go leave here tonight, we go rejoicing in what we have in Christ and telling others about the wonderful love that you have for them. Now, Lord, bless, meet all these needs, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Christ's name.
Lord, in the area of pregnancy needs, Lord, we lift up before you the Burlington CareNet Pregnancy Center, Lord. We just pray for souls to be saved and through this ministry, Lord. And we just ask you to be with the workers, Lord. Just give them wisdom to make God-honoring decisions each day, Lord. And just fill them with strength and with courage, Lord, just to give out the gospel each day, Lord. And we just give you all the honor and the praise that comes from each and every baby's life that's saved as a result of it, Lord. We also lift up before you Leah Boswell and Candace B., also Julia Vincent Chapin, Lord. We just thank you so much for each of these pregnancy, Lord. We ask for you to just give them good health, Lord, and good reports from their doctors, Lord. We pray for the pregnancy to go well, Lord, and according to your perfect timing, Lord. We pray for the men in each of these situations, Lord, just to put you first in their lives, Lord. Just use this time to reprioritize, Lord, and according to your perfect will for their lives, Lord. We ask for you to help us to come alongside of them if they do not know you, and just to present you clearly, Lord, and just showing them the same love that you show to us, Lord. We just thank you so much for all that you have done and will continue to in these pregnancies. In your son's name we pray.
Dear Lord and Father, we're thankful for the messages that we get through attending church or listening on the internet. The pastor is studying on your word, and we thank you for the growth that we get from studying your word on our own. But just think, Lord, of these folks that we're praying for that at one time seemed to be close to you and in our ranks, but have just faded away and don't seem to care about the Lord anymore. So we just ask that he would, through the Holy Spirit, just cause them to return and to answer the call to return to the Lord. We think of Elizabeth, Susanna, Tommy H., Chris S., Jason S., Victoria B., Jerry Q., Justin P., Brittany and Sandy S., Jordan H., John M., Gail R., and daughter, Jacob C., Keith D., Andre F., Chelsea P., and Emily H. Thank you again for how we can be close to you and know what you want in our lives through your word. In Jesus' name.
And our Father God in heaven, as we continue before your very throne of grace tonight, Lord God, we're so thankful for your eternal mercy and grace and forgiveness. Lord, for the fact that anyone, Lord, can come to you when they recognize their need for salvation. And Lord, by a true heart's cry, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too can be saved and redeemed from the eternity in hell. But Father, in this sin-sick world, there is just so many, so much distraction that Satan is just running over time, Lord, as it would seem, to blind and to keep those from seeing their need of a Savior. But Father, tonight, you've allowed that while we still have life, Lord, there is still opportunity. And Lord, we just pray that for each one of these names tonight that is still in need of salvation, that, Lord, you would orchestrate the circumstances and, Lord, the situations in each one of these lives, Lord, that they will come to that place, that they'll hear a message, that they'll hear a thought, a word, a testimony by someone that they speak with, Lord, that will point them to Jesus Christ, and that they'll take hold of that and come to that place where they, too, accept Christ as their personal Savior. Tonight, Father, we want to pray for Walt S. and Sharon and Todd M. Lord, we pray for Jeff and Jen and Travis S. and Patty B. and Corey B. Lord, we pray for Austin and Kenny F. We pray also for Cindy and Paul P. and Sheena S. and Sarah C. Lord, Tyler G. and Danny and Paul F. Father, we continue to pray for Jim P. and Nathan D. For Gary R. and Jeff and Mike. Father, we also pray for Stephen T. For Liz and Sean and Beverly M. God, we hold up before you Bob R. and Mike and Tara B. and Joe B. We pray for Jake S. and Mark H. and his family. Lord, we hold up Chris H. and Jacob R. as well. And Father, for each one of these and others that we individually might know, Father, we hold them up before you with the earnest plea that, Lord God, you would work in these lives, bring them about according to your will, according to your knowledge of them, that, Lord, they'll come to that place where before it is too late, they will accept Christ as their own personal Savior and make him Lord. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name.
Father, we continue tonight, and Lord, we're thankful for Brother Jim and his family, and Father, we pray that you'll continue to work in him physically, Lord, to keep the diabetes from ravaging and destroying the body. We pray for others as well who have diabetes and pray that you do the same there. Lord, we think of Rosa tonight, and Lord, once again, and thankful for her cheerfulness, even though I know that, Lord, it's got to be almost beside herself with not being able to do the things that she would normally do. And Lord, may she use this time wisely to meditate and to rest in her thought life concerning you and her relationship. And Lord, just all the many blessings, but at the same time, Lord, just an opportunity to be able to grow so much closer to you during this time frame. Lord, sometimes you have to set us in a place and in a position where, Lord, most of our time is going to be consumed with just thinking and loving up on you, Lord, and allowing you to permeate our soul. Lord, we think of Calvary Life. What a privilege it is to be able to live stream and, Lord, to be able to touch different lives and different places in the United States. Lord, we pray that all who are fundamental Bible-believing ministries at live stream will have great results of touching lives, changing maybe lives, and bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that this ministry here will be used for that purpose, that is to see souls being saved, souls being rededicated, Lord, and others being fed. Lord, we pray for our young people's spiritual growth and discernment. Lord, we realize there's many voices out there. Lord, they're in the world, and the world is predominantly godless. Lord, their ideology, their thought life, the way they reason in life. Lord, help our children's minds to be protected by the hedge of your precepts and principles. And may we as parents be reminded of our responsibility to be able to instruct them and to teach them how important it is to stay within those principles so that the mind and heart will be protected. Lord, we pray for greater boldness to share the gospel. Lord, indeed, we're in the minority, but Lord, we know that through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we would do our part, we could begin to change that for sure. Lord, we pray for Mike's ongoing leg problems, and we think of Jack as well. Lord, we just pray that you'll guide and direct in these men's lives to strengthen, to encourage them. We thank you for, Lord, their faithfulness. We thank you for their desire to be used in spite of the fact that it might be difficult at times for them to do so. Father, bless them physically and spiritually and emotionally. Lord, we pray for our college students and finances and a strong stand for the Lord. Lord, it's really quite easy, as you know, to backslide in a Bible college. Lord, they get fed, but they're not feeding themselves. And so, Father, may they realize the importance of having this personal time alone with you. Lord, help them to make good decisions, wise decisions about the friends they make and the friends they keep. Lord, help them as they, even this summer is coming, they're going to need to have work, and we pray that you provide them with gainful employment. Lord, we pray for our police officer, EMT personnel, and firemen. Pray that you'll guide and direct them. Lord, keep them safe as they give of their time, give of their lives to meet the needs of others in our community. Lord, we pray for their souls and pray for their family souls as well. Pray for our folks will desire in a very personal walk with the Lord. Lord, our outgiving of the tracts or outgiving of the testimony is only going to be as good and as successful as our walk is with you. So, Lord, may we have a great desire, a great hunger to walk faithfully. Lord, we thank you for the news on Steve's mom for continued healing, we pray, for the physical therapy time. Never is easy, but, Father, we just pray that you'll help her to see what she needs to do and why she needs to do it, and that, Lord, she'll be strengthened as a result of that. Lord, we think of Sandy Davis, who is in rehab also for back surgeries and complications as a result of that. We pray that, Lord, we'll hear very soon from Brother Randy that she's home and that she's doing even better. Lord, for Kirk Holloway under hospice care, we pray that you continue to guide and direct and Christie's and the children's lives there and Kirk's as well. Lord, strengthen them at a time like this where we can't even begin to imagine what they must be going through emotionally. But, Lord, you do. Please draw close to them. May your grace be more than sufficient. Lord, for Nellie Winterstein recovering also from hip surgery and another rehab, we pray that, again, you'll strengthen and encourage her, that, Lord, she'll be able to get off the medication that kind of leaves her zoned in and zoned out from time to time. So, Father, again, we pray for healing there. Lord, for Tony and Ann as they prepare to move back to Colorado, we pray that you'll guide and direct. And, Lord, give them the wisdom and the discernment for the decisions and the choices that have to be made. Lord, the traveling mercies to and from and back again. And, Lord, we thank you for their sharing their lives with us these last so many years or so. And, Lord, we pray that you'll bless them. Lord, pray for Melissa tonight who needs help. And, Father, you know exactly the nature and the kind of help that's necessary. So, Father, we pray that you'll guide and direct according to your perfect understanding and according to your perfect will. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Share your word and to go forth to many different countries and nations and people. We do also want to remember the men and the people that in our country and the Christian Law Association and the NCLL, the Gibbs father and the sons, and just pray you help them as they work to help people through legal battles as our country gets more and more humanistic and more seeming socialistic. The gospel and the ministry that are around us are under great pressure from different laws and different entities that want to stifle the word of God and stifle the gospel. We just pray your word would go strong, give these people the strength they need, the wisdom that they need as they deal with court cases, and give them the presence and the countenance that they need to present you with kindness and love to the world around us. Pray for Shannon and his family as they're down around Pensacola. Give them understanding. It's got to be a real challenge, and even your mind, to not be on the mission field anymore and kind of just always maybe getting a little depressed or a little wondering about what the next step is. We just pray you lift him up and encourage him, strengthen his family, give him and his wife, that they would rejoice in your kindness this day. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers in general and specifically concerning churches, O Lord. Thank you for we pray tonight as well for Paradise Mountain Baptist Church in Island Pond. We thank you for potentially providing a pastor already for them, O Lord. Prepare that family and that individual, the man that's going to be preaching with them, O Lord. Help that family to prepare and to be ready to be out there in the Northeast Kingdom and to preach your word to the people out there. And we pray also for David Paul and for Gabriel, who are filling in. Time, O Lord, help them, give them strength and wisdom to do your will in all things. Bless and help all the pastors in Vermont, all over the place, wherever you will, O Lord.